Welcome, Fellowship Baptist Church. So glad you're joined us tonight to worship the Lord together. Exciting things to be involved in what God's doing and see prayer answered. We serve a mighty God, but that's not quite, I say that often, but it's not quite right. We don't serve a mighty God, we serve the mighty God. And there's none like Him. We praise the Lord for Him. Just a few announcements before we get started tonight. Don't forget the Refresh Conference. Our spring revival begins Sunday. The Scott Matthews family will be with us all day, and what a joy they are, and I pray that you'll be here all on Sunday morning, Sunday night, 10:30 and 6 o'clock for our Refresh Conference, and then it continues on Monday night at 7 o'clock, Tuesday night at 10 a.m. and 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll have Scott Matthews preaching, Daniel Buchanan preaching, Joe Author, and Tyler Galden. So looking forward to that in such a special way. Don't forget Saturday, Door Hanger Ministry starts again. So be back in your place at 9:30 this Saturday. We'll meet in the sanctuary. And then also continue to pray for May 5th is the Clarksville graduation at 7 p.m. on a Friday night here. And we have two of our students that are graduating from our church. Brother Charles Gewin is going to be graduating, as well as Michelle Shallington will be graduating. And then we have a local pastor out of Lewisburg that will also be graduating. So we're looking forward to that. And then also we need to continue to pray for Tom Bailey as he's up in New York talking with the back surgeons about his back situation. Be much in prayer for that. And then also, if anybody would be interested in helping me, I do need some help helping iron the graduates' gowns. We always try to iron those for them. If anybody would like to help us with that, I'd appreciate it. And then also, I'll need some help that Friday with a luncheon for our board members. If you'll see me after church, if you'd like to help with any of that, I appreciate it. We'll be in Hebrews tonight, chapter number 12, as we continue our study of the burden of baggage based on Hebrews 12:1, the burden of baggage. I never bring my keys to the pulpit, and I brought them with me. I'll be playing with them. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Let's read the Word of God together. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How many? Every weight. Let's say it again. Every weight. And the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now we understand we should be laying aside that sin that besets us, but the weights. That can be, as we saw last week, that could be some good things. It could be some okay things, but it's not the best things. Not necessarily something evil or something ungodly. But these weights slow us down. They hinder our race that we are to set before us, as it says in the latter part of verse 1. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We don't want to faint. We want to keep pressing forward. We want to press toward the mark, as the Bible says. We want to run our race, as God has told us. If we're going to do that, and we're going to do it well, then we have to get rid of some baggage. We have to get rid of some weights that are weighing us down, that are hindering our walk and our run for the Lord. So as we began this series last week with an introduction, this week we start looking at some of those weights that we carry around. And my, this one is timely. It's the burden of anxiety. Now, who in the world has anxiety in here? Surely no one, right? No, I'm sure all of us. Either today or this week, or last week, or this coming week, are going to have periods of anxiety. But we are to lay that burden down. We are to lay that weight down. At the end of Sir Winston Churchill's life, he was talking to some individuals there around his bed, and he said, "When I look back on all these worries, those worries that have compassed and compassed and surrounded me and surrounded my thoughts, when I look back on my life at all the worries that I had anxiety over," he said, "I remember a story of an old man who was on his deathbed. And he said, 'I have a lot of trouble in my life, but most of them never happened.'" We worry about things that most will never happen. But we worry about them. We have fears over them. We have anxiety attacks over things that probably are not going to happen. Winston Churchill was speaking about the burden of worries that never materialize, but yet consume our lives. There are many types of burdens in life, and most of them are very real, and anxiety and worry and fear are very real things. But Jesus said in Matthew 11:28 something very pointed to this subject. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Anxiety, worry, fears, they weigh you down. They weigh me down. And he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He goes on to say, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want Jesus' burden, not my burdens. His burden's light. My burdens are heavy. You know, you think about Jesus rising up and growing up in the carpenter shop of Joseph, his stepfather, and a yoke is something that Jesus probably either repaired or made when he was apprenticing and working in the carpenter shop. It's a wooden frame that joins two animals together, usually oxen, by the neck, enabling them to pull a plow or a wagon together, making the load that much easier because two are bearing the burden. The function of the yoke is to make the burden easy. And Jesus says to take His yoke because it's easy and His burden is light. We think of this burden of anxiety. Let us look first at some statistics that are staggering. In 2007, there was a book written by the name of Affluenza by a psychologist by the name of Oliver James. And he was discussing the problem, the burden of anxiety in Great Britain in this book. And he said in 2007, almost a quarter of Britain suffers from either emotional distress, depression, or anxiety. A quarter of Great Britain's citizens. And then he said another quarter is on the verge of emotional distress, worry, or anxiety. That's half the nation of Great Britain in 2007. But according to the World Health Organization in 2019, just before COVID, the World Health Organization said one in every eight people of the world, 970 million people around the world are living with some type of emotional distress or anxiety or depression. One in eight. 970 million people. It's a real problem. But then COVID happened. And in 2020, The World Health Organization continued this study. And they said, during the first year of COVID, anxiety and depression disorders rose 28%, placing over 1 billion people on our planet with some burden of anxiety. It's real. 1 billion people in the world, some of those were Christians. It's not just as easy to say you need to trust the Lord more. There is some real need here. We need some real help from God's Word to understand the burden of anxiety. In our study of the weights that we are told to lay aside, these weights are burdens. These weights are baggages. These weights weigh us down and hinder our walk for the Lord and hinder us from doing the work God has called us to do. There's a true struggle with anxiety, as we've seen by just the statistics of the world, but if we placed it just in our homes and in our immediate families, there's a real struggle with anxieties. One of the burdens that God bears for us daily is the weight of worry, is the weight of stress, is the weight of anxiety. He will gladly bear that burden for you and for me. John Newton said, we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over into today. And then add the burden of tomorrow before we even required to bear it. Let's just look at today. One day at a time, step by step with the Lord. Each day we can commit to God our fears, our desires, our worries, our anxieties. Daily we can commit those to God. He wants us to commit those to Him. And it can make all the difference. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of the Scriptures we'll look at tonight are very familiar. But look at Philippians 4, beginning verse number 5. Philippians 4, 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful. That word careful there in your Bible in verse number 6 of Philippians 4, that word careful means anxious or worry. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be worrying about nothing, the Bible is saying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where do the anxieties happen? Where do the worries happen? Where do the fears happen? Often in our minds, occasionally in our heart, but often in our minds. And Jesus says, I'll take care of both. I'll keep your hearts and minds. But what do we have to do? We have to cast those to God. We have to cast those burdens to Him. Let me start and begin with just two questions. I want these questions to stick with you. Think about them tonight. Think about them when you get up in the morning. Think about them all week long when you go to work, when you come home, when anxieties happen in your life and worries and fears happen in your life. Think of these two questions. What am I afraid of? Narrow it down. What am I afraid of? And what am I worrying about today? What am I worrying about today? and what am I afraid of? Think about those often. Now, with those thoughts in mind, go to Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord is going to teach us about anxiety. In Luke 12, beginning in verse 22. In Luke 12, 22, the Word of God says, "And He said unto His disciples," Jesus is teaching. It's a moment when Jesus is teaching about the struggle of worry, the struggle, the burden of anxiety. And He's teaching His disciples. And He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought one, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms, providing yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither a moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In this passage, Jesus addresses the burden of anxiety. Anxiety, or anxiousness, is defined as an uneasiness of the mind or a fearful concern. Anxiety is related to fear. There are numerous types of anxieties. They abound. Some common anxieties are those fears common to life. Fears of illness, fears of the loss of our income or loss of our retirement, or fear of loss of our job, or fear of security, loss of security, fear of will our children turn out right or not. Most of these things are out of our control. Many of these things probably will never happen, but we are consumed with anxiety over these things. Great principle that I learned very early in my adult years from my father about managing money and investing your money, invest it and diversify it, put it in many different accounts and invest it many different ways. But when the wisest thing he ever told me about finances was, when you invest it, leave it alone. Don't worry about it. It's there for the long term. Don't go in every day and check the stock market, where it is and how it's doing. No, just leave it alone. Time is your friend in investing. Yeah, I'm reminded of a story of two Christian soldiers. They're in a foxhole during a battle in World War II, thinking on this subject of the anxieties of life and how we're consumed by these anxieties. Here are two Christian soldiers together in a foxhole in the midst of a battle. One was exceedingly calm during the battle, while the other was trembling in terror in the foxhole. And the one trembling in terror said to the one who was so calm, he says, "How can you be so calm in the midst of this battle?" The soldier who was calm said very slowly and very clearly, "I look at it this way. There's a bullet out there with my name on it. In the providence of God, that bullet is either going to get me or it's not going to get me. And my worrying about it isn't going to change either way. So I'm resting in God's providence." The terrified soldier was dumbfounded. He says, "I'm not so much worried about the bullet out there with my name on it. I'm worried about all these bullets that says to whom it may concern." That's us. We consume ourselves worrying about things that probably are never going to happen. Those to whom it may concern. You know, the commands of Christ, there are positive commands of Christ and there are prohibition commands of Christ. The prohibiting commands that Jesus gave more often than any other to not do was not don't steal, was not don't kill, was not don't commit adultery. Not that he is saying those are not important. Yes, they are. His greatest commands of prohibition were fear not. Don't be afraid. He knew us in our human condition. He knew that all of us would go through the life at the edge of anxiety often. Men, there was a study made a few years ago concerning married men in America. And it revealed a very startling conclusion that the number one thing married men in America worry about is money. But not just having it. Specifically, married men in America worry that they are not going to be able to care and provide for their families. That's a real fear. It's a real point of anxiety. So what do men do? Do they get in little cluster groups and talk about it with each other? No. Men, before they were married, only had to worry about themselves. And we didn't take very good care of ourselves, men. But now that we're married, we have a wife and we have children, we have to provide for them. We have to take care of them. And that is a great anxiety. But common anxiety to men, when they're around each other, they will talk about anything other than their anxieties. That's another anxiety. Oh, they're going to judge me. These fellow believers, these fellow men, they're going to judge me for having fears, having worries. No, they're having the same ones you are. Anxiety produces an uneasiness, but it also produces a heaviness. And sometimes a dark cloud upon us. Throughout the Scriptures, we will find example after example of people dealing with difficult situations that cause them to have the burden of anxiety. Think of David. Think of Job. They are so transparent in their fears, their worries, their anxiety. But then you have Paul. Paul is a little more reserved. Does Paul not have anxiety? Does Paul not have the burden of fears and worries? Oh, I'm sure he's human. He had some. But through the inspiration of the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit of God, His writings were to encourage the churches, not to cast light on His problems. David shows us in his times of anxiety to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord. While I wish my faith was so strong that no anxiety crossed my path, I cannot make such a claim. This is not to say that I have a weak faith or you have a weak faith. God has taken us through some pretty challenging valleys in our life. And those valleys have helped increase our faith. Instead of worrying, let's use that faith to trust the Lord more. He brought us through this circumstance. Can He not bring us through this one? Is this one too hard for God and this one wasn't? No, the Bible says nothing's impossible to God. Nothing is too hard for Him. There's something intrinsically part of the human nature that makes us worry. Even though we trust God, that all will work out according to His perfect plan, there remains that voice, that sometimes just a quiet voice. But what if? But what if? But I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't have that quiet voice. I have a screaming, yelling voice that's causing doubt and concern and anxiety. Even our very bodily reaction to such times can change when we're faced with anxiety. Our hearts will race. We will begin to perspire. We'll lose an appetite. We'll desire to be alone. We will want to sleep constantly or take naps often. Or we're unable to concentrate. At any moment in our lives, multiple things can be going on that we have little to no control over. And it's easy to begin to have anxieties, to have fears, and to have worries. It's a struggle, a true, real struggle. So how do we subdue it? How do we subdue anxieties? 1 Peter chapter 5 is the first place we need to go to see. In 1 Peter chapter 5, God gives us a powerful little verse. In 1 Peter 5, notice verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Highlight, asterisk, circle, something to verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Far too often we try to take control. We're going to solve this dilemma in our own power. That can lead to pride. That can lead to absolute failure. That can lead to complete fallout. At some point, we're going to have to get to the point where we say, I can't handle this, Lord. That's what He's waiting for. That's what He's waiting for. I can't handle this anymore, God. No, you can't. I'm glad you finally figured that out, son, daughter. We need to be like a little child that ask their parent for help. We are all little children that need our Father's help. We must come before God, humbled like a little child, acknowledging we cannot overcome this burden. It's too great for me, God. Coming before God humbled like this is hard to do. But Scripture makes it so it's crystal clear. The Bible has the solution to anxiety. God desires a humble heart. God desires a heart that says, I can't do this on my own. While it may be cute for a child to come to their parents and say, I don't need your help, but you can come along. That's not proper for one who comes to the Lord. When we come to the Lord with such an attitude, He's not going to help. He's waiting for us to say, God, it's too big. It's too hard. I can't do it. I need you. He is the one who can handle anything. There's no one else like the Lord Jesus Christ. He can handle everything. We must recognize we are not God. And our struggles remind us of this. Maybe that's why we have some. Oh, you've gotten a little big for your britches. Think you can handle this one. Okay. Let's see how strong your faith is. You're barely surviving. You're not eating. You just want to be alone and cover your head up with the blankets and sit in the corner and cry. God says, okay, you ready for me? Yes, Lord. I need you. These moments bring us back to reality. We are imperfect beings with limited strength, but we serve and worship a perfect God who has unlimited strength and ability. And we here in 1 Peter are commanded to cast our burdens upon the Lord. That's also in Matthew 11:28 we've read. And He will bear them for us. What a great promise. So why don't we do that? Well, I might appear weak. We are weak. Others will judge me. Are they going to judge you when you fall on your face too? We need to come to the point where we're humbled before God and say, God, I need you. And you know, it's not just one time. We need God every moment of every day. But there's so many moments in a day that we try to take on our own. Sitting in my office, I'm working on college stuff constantly or preparing messages constantly. There are times where I stop and say, oh, I'm trying to do this on my own. God, I need you. I need you to help me with this. Those things that we're so good at, that's our talent, that's our ability from God, it's easy. It's easy to start doing those on our own without the Lord's strength. We need Him in those things as well. He is the one with the mighty hand, not us. We can subdue Him. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. Made reference to it earlier. Matthew 11 verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28, similar to Luke, says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Oh, but his burden is light. Don't you want some light burdens? Don't you want to give up some? You know, let's do a trade with God. God, I'm going to give you all these heavy laden burdens. And I'm going to take the light burdens. That's a fair trade for us, right? Jesus tells us not to worry. Trust Him. Seek God's righteousness. Follow the teachings of the Word of God. God will take care of you and me. Sometimes people who do not know the love of God will read and hear the teaching of the Scriptures and they will say, oh, I've tried that. It didn't work for me. They're turning away from the goodness of God that's being extended to them. So what's our problem? We've heard it. Are we listening? Are we accepting? Are we obeying? I don't usually make quotes from Hollywood characters, but this one's pretty pointed. It's the words of a character from the Star Wars movies called Yoda. A little green thing. And he said something profound. And it helps us here. He says, do or do not. There is no try. You can either cast your burdens to the Lord or you can keep them. There is no trying to cast your burdens to the Lord. You either do it or you don't. That means you're trying to do it. Do or do not. There is no try. These are wise words. When we say we try, we need to ask ourselves, are we actually ready to try to attempt this on our own? We're going to fail. And we'll probably end up in worse shape than before. Or are we ready to say, Lord, they're yours. I'm giving them to you. God never fails. God never fails. He cannot fail. He is the one to put our trust in to help us with these burdens. He is the one to take from us these fears, these worries, these anxieties. He is the one. Sometimes, though, God doesn't answer us immediately. You know, I don't have a hotline to God where He answers immediately. Sometimes He causes us to wait a little bit for an answer. Well, God's slow in showing up, so I guess it's up to me to try this, take care of this anxiety, this fear, this work. No, that's not what He wants. If you've casted that burden to Him, leave it with Him. He's going to address it. He's going to help it, help you with it. But sometimes He is trying to work in our lives in such a way through these difficult situations to increase our faith in Him so that we will see that He can handle the anxieties, the fears, the worries. So the next one comes. God handled the last one. He can handle this one. We need to subdue those anxieties, not in our own strength, but by giving them to God. So the source, there is a source to overcome anxiety. It teaches us in the Word of God. To live the Christian life means to focus on the Word of God and the God of the Word, so that we become more and more like Him, but also more and more aware of His presence with us. If we concentrated on the Word of God and we concentrated on the God of the Word, we will become aware of His presence. And so when that anxiety comes, hey God, this one's yours. Hey God, they're all yours. You're aware of His presence. What does it say in Matthew? You're still in Matthew. Go to chapter 28. Part of the Great Commission, but will help us here. In Matthew 28, notice verse 20. The latter part of the verse. We've been commissioned to go and to teach and to baptize. And he says in the latter part of verse 20 of Matthew 28, "Lo, I am," that's the name of God, "I am with you always." I am with you all the time, even until the end of the world. That means I'm with you on the battlefield. That means I'm with you in the hospital. That means I'm with you in the ambulance. That means I'm with you in the cemetery. That means I'm with you when the bank notice comes of a foreclosure on your home. That means I'm with you when your child goes through a divorce. That means I'm with you in the boss's office. That means I'm with you in the doctor's office. I'm with you when your car breaks down. I'm with you when you have to rebuild your house. I'm with you when you have lost your job. I'm with you when your loved one is sick. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you always. Whatever is causing us fear and worry and distress and anxiety, God is with you, and He would like for you to give it to Him. George Mueller was a preacher back in England and had a burden to start orphanages to take care of all the street urchins of London, Bristol. He didn't start off as a godly man. His life story is quite a story. But he had a father. His father was a godly man. And his father loved his children and he loved his God and he prayed for his children. George Mueller's father's favorite verse was Luke 12, 22. Let's read it together. This will help you. Luke 12, 22. George Mueller's father's favorite verse was Luke 12 and verse 22. We've already read it as we started tonight. He said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye eat, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on." That's an interesting verse to be your favorite verse. But then you think of George Mueller's future. He prayed for food. He prayed for clothing. He prayed for the finances to run all of these orphanages. No coincidence. But there's more to the story about George Mueller's father and why this verse was his favorite verse. Jesus here is telling us not to worry about the basic needs of life. George Mueller watched his father become increasingly ill over a period of 3 years. He had suffered 4 strokes. And near the end of the 3rd year, his 4th stroke took his life. But all of the time that he was suffering, he was confined to a wheelchair. And he would have a magnifying glass close at hand so that he could read his Bible. His father had much to be anxious about. He could not earn a living for his family. He could not provide for the basic needs of his family as a father should do. George Mueller could not do that. For 3 years. He was not able to care for his family. He was concerned that his children would know God and would go and get an education, but he had no idea how they would be able to get an education. He didn't know if he was going to survive another week for 3 years. But he would murmur to George over and over and over again. And a very gnarled speech and a sagging jaw from the strokes, he would tell his son George, "Be anxious for nothing. What you should eat, or what you should drink, or what you should put on. George Mueller would hear him say that and be amazed, because he was not anxious. His father was not anxious about the basic needs of life. But of course, George was. As the oldest, he was concerned. But George's father clung to this text to the very end of his life, that God could provide. Notice verse 30 of Luke 12. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, don't they? We saw over a billion people concerned about, distressed and burdened down by the anxieties of life. And he says in verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is teaching about priorities. Elsewhere in the Scriptures it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else is secondary. Food, raiment, basic needs of life are secondary to seeking God. But I draw your attention back to verse 32. Luke 12, 32. The first four words. Jesus is again teaching His disciples. And He says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. How tenderly Jesus would speak these words to His disciples. Do you know who the little flock is here and who the little flock is today? It's the ones who have believed on the name of the Son of God. You and me are His lambs. We are His little flock. And He was not yelling at us in this text, and He's not yelling or rebuking His disciples in this text. He's comforting them. When we find ourselves battling anxiety, why don't we try turning the entire problem to God's hands? From there, learn how to fully trust Him to handle the entire problem every time it comes up. When God tells us to cast all our cares and burdens upon Him so He can take complete care of them for us, He then adds to this command that we are to learn how to be anxious for nothing, not to be worrying about tomorrow or what tomorrow may bring. This can truly be done through the power of the Holy Spirit who resides in you. So my lessons and God's lessons, the Word of God's lessons for us, are the burden of anxiety, of subduing it in our lives. We know it's a struggle. We see the statistics. But we also know there is a source to overcome it, to have victory over anxiety. And it is simply soak yourself in God's Word. Sing praises to God through your burdens of anxiety, and surround yourself with spiritual warriors to encourage and pray for you. Soak, sing, and surround. Soak, sing, and surround. Say them with me. Soak, sing, surround. You are not alone. Not just God has not left you. You have brothers and sisters that have not left you. We're here to help carry your burdens. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves thereunto the mighty hand of God. Think of that hand. Mighty hand of God. That He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. What are you caring about tonight? What are you carrying around? Cast it. Cast it to Him. Because He cares for you. Lord, I don't know who needed this tonight besides me, but I thank You for it. We are full of
times of anxiety in our lives, burdens we carry, unnecessarily trying to take care of them on our own, when you've clearly taught us from the Scriptures that you desire us to give them to you. Let us do and not try. Let us do to give them to you. Whatever we're carrying tonight, whatever we're carrying is too heavy for us, Lord. Help us to realize that and give it wholly, fully to you, so that we may not be hindered by the weight of anxiety, but we can run the race that you have set before us. Bless your people. Help them. Help them to get over this burden of anxiety they're carrying, to give it to you, that we might be able to do more for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.